إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the topic that we want to discuss is the excellence or the virtue of the assemblies of knowledge. And the fadl of majalis al-ilm. And indeed, the excellence, the superiority and the virtues of the assemblies of knowledge is well known. However, there is no harm in any reminding of its excellence as an encouragement for each of us to make a greater effort to benefit from the attendance of these assemblies, wherever they may be, amongst the people of Sunnah, yani where the knowledge of the Sunnah is being spread, whether it is that which is related to Al-Aqidah, the Islamic beliefs and creed, or whether it is that which is related to Ibadah, the worship, acts of worship and deeds, or whether it is related to manners, character and manners, yani akhlaq and adab, or whether it is related to da'wah, yani whatever area it may be in, wherever there are people from amongst the Ahl Sunnah who are gathering in assemblies for teaching and learning the knowledge of the Sunnah, then there is indeed a tremendous great virtue in attending such. And the proofs of this are many. Today we'd like to discuss one hadith. And if time allows, maybe some additional points. But at least this one hadith, we want to look at it, think about it, contemplate over it, and inshallah benefit from it. And again, the greater benefit is for one to examine oneself and where we stand in reference to that which we find in the likes of this hadith. Hadith that's reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. It is the hadith of Abi Waqid Al-Laythi, radiyallahu anhu. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, has given a lengthy discussion concerning this hadith. I will mention some of the points that he mentioned in the end of that discussion, because the discussion is very, very lengthy. But I want to look at the hadith, inshallah, and look at the basic, obvious, apparent meaning of the hadith, and then mention some of the points that he has mentioned in the end, inshallah. So this hadith, it is, as I mentioned, reported by Al-Bukhari, the hadith of Abi Waqid Al-Laythi, radiyallahu anhu. And in this hadith, it contains the mention that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بينما هو جالس في المسجد والناس معه وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته بينما هو جالس في المسجد والناس معه إذ أقبل ثلاثة نفر. Okay, we're getting the picture here of the scene. The Prophet, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, was sitting in the masjid. Al-Masjid An-Nabawi, the the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. And the people were with him, meaning the people were sitting around him. And three people approached. إِذْ أَقْبَلَ ثَلَاثَةُ نَفَرٍ فَأَقْبَلَ إِثْنَانِ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَذَهَبَ وَاحِدٌ. So two of them approached, they came near to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And one of them, he went away. And the people, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're sitting in the masjid with him. He is teaching the people in the masjid. And three people were going by, they were passing by, and they approached. But as they approached, two of them came close to the assembly of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of them, he went away. And he turned his back on the, as the hadith mentions further on, he turned his back on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the assembly of those who had gathered to listen and learn from him, and he had no need for it. He left. The narrator says, فَوَقَفَ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقَفَ يعني two of them, the two who remained, they stood before the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَأَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَرَأَى فُرْجَةً فِي الْحَلْقَةٍ في الحلقة فجلس فيها. So as for one of those two, أحدهما, the two that remained, one of them he saw opening in the gathering, so he sat in it. And he found a place open and he made his way to it and he sat there. وأما الآخر فجلس خلفهم. As far as the other one, yani of the two that remained, he didn't find any place. So he sat behind the assembly, yani at the edge of the assembly, on the border of the people. He sat, yani at the end, wherever there was, yani at the end of the gathering, he found the place and he sat there. وَأَمَّا الثَّالِثْ فَأَدْبَرَ وَذَهَبَ أَدْبَرَ وَذَهَبَ. Yani the third of those three who originally were passing by, the third of them, he turned around, he turned his back, and he went away. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now I just want to stop here for a minute in this hadith, and I want to say that this is something that perhaps we may have experienced ourselves, or at least we have seen, that people approach a gathering, a majlis of ilm, and some of them find that it may be something of benefit, so they join. And other people, they have no need for it, so they leave. And this, of course, is not in reference to a person who has to leave, yani who has some occupation or some other demands that requires them to leave. They don't have the time or the ability to attend. That's different. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people who don't really have concern or care for it. Yani this is not something important. They didn't think that the assembly of knowledge, where the knowledge of the deen, where the knowledge of Islam, where the knowledge of the sunnah is being conveyed, they didn't think that this is of any importance. So they had something that was better for them to go to, whatever it may have been. It may be, in some cases, na'am, that they're going to something that not only is of no benefit, rather it's something that is harmful. Something that might be haram even. So a person has to consider. A person has to consider. If they have the ability to sit in the assembly of knowledge, that this is a greater benefit for them than something that is not demanding upon them, that is not compelling them to leave. Indeed, the assemblies of knowledge are important. And as we will see in this hadith, we will see that there are three people here. And so there are three, yani, types of behavior that a person may exemplify in this situation. All of them were passing by. Two of them approached and one of them went away. One of them searched for a place amongst the assembly, entered it and sat amongst the people. And the other didn't find a place, but he didn't leave. He stayed. He sat wherever he found the place, even though it was at the end of the assembly. But he stayed though. So some person, he may make a greater effort, yarhamukallah, to sit amongst the assembly, and another one maybe, he didn't find a place, but he still stayed. And a third one, he has no need for such. Allahu musta'an. And of course we're talking about the assemblies of knowledge in general, from the people of sunnah, whatever it is that the people are conveying, whatever knowledge that they are sharing or that they are spreading, whether it's tafsir or hadith or fiqh or aqeedah, whatever it might be. So the narrator of the hadith says, two of them came close, one of them went away. Of the two that came close, one of them he saw opening, he sat in it. The other one, he didn't find a place, so he sat at the end of the gathering. As far as the third one, he turned his back and he went away. فَلَمَّا فَرَغَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالَ أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ عَنَ النَّفَرِ الثَّلَاثَةِ. So when the Prophet ﷺ finished teaching his companions, finished whatever he was saying to them, whatever he was conveying to them, whatever he was giving to them, instructing them with, when he finished it, he said, shall I not inform you about the three individuals, the three individuals who were passing by? Shall I not inform you about them? So the Prophet ﷺ said, أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمْ فَأَوَى إِلَى اللَّهِ فَآوَاهُ اللَّهِ. As far as one of them, he sought refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sought refuge in the assembly of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He searched for a place, he found a place, and he took it. So because of him seeking refuge in Allah, Allah granted him refuge. And we will look at the meaning of what this means. As Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah, he explains the meaning of this. So one of them, he sought refuge in Allah, sought a place in the assembly of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Allah granted him refuge. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرْ فَاسْتَحْيَا اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. As far as the other one of the two that remained, he was shy. He was shy. He was too shy to turn away and leave the majlis, the assembly of knowledge, as the third person had done. He was shy from doing this. But he didn't find a place, so he just sat at the edge of the people. And because he was shy from turning away, then Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَمَّا الْآخَ فَاسْتَحْيَا فَاسْتَحْيَا اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. So Allah was shy from him. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he says that the meaning of this is that Allah granted him his mercy and he didn't punish him. Even though he didn't find a place in the assembly, but he didn't turn away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also didn't turn away from him. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرْ فَأَعْرَضَ فَأَعْرَضَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْهُ. As far as the other, the last of them, the third of them, he turned away. So Allah turned away from him. Allah turned away from him. Allah's anger or displeasure is upon him. And this hadith, as I mentioned, is reported by Al-Bukhari. And of course, the one who turned away, again, I want to repeat so that there's no misunderstanding in case somebody wasn't paying attention. It doesn't mean here, the person who turns away from the assembly of knowledge because they are obligated to leave for some other matter, pressing matter that they have to attend to. Person has a job and it's time for him to go to work, he has to go to work. The person has his family waiting for him someplace, he has to attend to them. Maybe his wife is in the car and he came to pray and he has to leave. He can't leave her sitting in the car. It might be hot outside, right? Especially in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, so we don't mean that. We mean the person who is able to stay, but they don't find it of any importance. And again, this is something that could happen to anybody. Nobody's exempt from this. All of us from time to time, we have a lapse, or we have lapses. Sometimes we are not really thinking, and we do things that are not the best of what we could choose to do. So, In terms of the meaning of this hadith, I just want to highlight a few points. The first of them is that alaykum salam Abi Waqid al-Laythi radiallahu anhu, he's saying that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بينما هو جالس في المسجد والناس معه. This means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in his masjid, and Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina, the masjid that's well known. He was sitting in his masjid, the masjid which is one of the three masjids that alone, they are the masjids that's permissible for a person to travel to as an act of worship. As an act of worship. Nobody should be traveling to India or Pakistan or any other place to a masjid somewhere that somebody claims has some virtue and you're going there for worship. As an act of worship, you're traveling to that place. But as far as Mecca and Medina and Al-Quds, naam, a person can travel there as an act of worship. These are three special masjids that Allah has given a special status to. And this is one of those masjids, yani the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Medina. And from the virtues of the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there are many, is that the prayer in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better than 1,000 prayers in any other masjid except al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. Yani a person prays in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for every prayer they will get a reward that is better than 1,000 prayers in any other masjid except the masjid in Mecca. The sacred masjid in Mecca, al-Masjid al-Haram. So this is a tremendous matter. And this is one of the things that Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhahullah, he mentioned in his comments on the advice of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz to the students of Medina. He said that this is a tremendous opportunity for you to be in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, not just to be learning, naam, that is a blessing and an opportunity for sure. But to be learning in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where a person can go to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every time you pray there, it will be better than if you had prayed 1,000 prayers anywhere else. How many prayers is that? 5 prayers in a day? I don't know, 7 days in a week or 30 days in a month? That's a lot of prayers that we are performing, and one prayer in there is better than all of that. Of course, yani the person who prays the prayer sincerely for the sake of Allah and in accordance with the sunnah. Because some people are praying there and they're praying their own way. Allahu alam, yani what kind of reward they're getting for that kind of prayer. Where people are not following the sunnah. Because the prayer is worship, and worship can only be performed according to what Allah has legislated. People can't just make up their own way and worship the way they want to worship. People are going to Medina and they're praying in the masjid, and they're going to Mecca and they're praying there. And Allah only knows what their intention is, but we're not even talking about that. Allah only knows that. But we're talking about what we ourselves can see. You see people praying all kind of ways. Just as you see here, you see people there praying all kind of ways. Nowhere near anything that is what the Prophet ﷺ has exemplified for us. They've made up their own way of prayer. And Allah knows best whether or not that's even accepted, let alone rewarded. But the person who prays in accordance with the sunnah with sincere intention, inshallah, the reward that they will get will be better than 1,000 prayers in any other masjid. So this is a tremendous matter. This is not a light matter. And the prayer in this masjid is better than 1,000 prayers in any other masjid except al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. And then, yani the narrator of the hadith, he mentions, yani Abu Waqid al-Laythi, radiallahu anhu, that three people were passing by, three men were passing by, and two of them approached the assembly of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of them went away, turned his back and went away. Two of them stood before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani they approached, it came near to the assembly, and they stood there. And of the two, one of them, he found the opening in the circle, so he sat in it. One of them found the opening, and this perhaps could be understood from it that how did he find the opening? He actually looked for it. He searched for it. There was an opening there. Maybe it wasn't obvious. Maybe there was only one opening. Allah knows best. But he found the opening, and his companion, he didn't find the opening. So you can imagine that he searched for it. He looked. He was trying to find the opening. He had to look. It was an assembly of people. There were a lot of people sitting there. How many? Allahu alam. But we can imagine. We can imagine that, you know, the people in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and they are the best of humanity after the prophets and messengers. The generation of the Prophet, they are the best of people. You can imagine that how eager and diligent they were in trying to be in attendance with the Prophet ﷺ whenever they had a chance to. So if he was teaching the people, of course, they're going to be sitting there. They're not going to lose this opportunity. So there were a lot of people gathered there. And this person, he looked and he found the place and he sat in it. And the other one, he didn't find the place. But he just sat at the edge of the gathering. The third of them, he turned and went away. So when the Prophet ﷺ finished teaching the people, teaching his companions, yani that which Allah had revealed to him from the Quran and the Sunnah, yani what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to him is contained in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And this is the means of purification and rectification and the reforming of the people and the hearts and the souls. That is what is contained in the Quran and the Sunnah. So when he finished, he said to the people, "Shall I not inform you about the three individuals?" As far as one of them, he sought refuge with Allah, so Allah granted him refuge. And as far as the other, he was shy, so Allah was shy from him. And as far as the last of them, yani, he turned away, so Allah turned away from him. So, yani, the first point that we want to mention here is, and this is, yani, the point that, yani, the primary point that we want to focus on is the excellence of the gatherings or the assemblies of knowledge. And this hadith, yani, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, of the man who searched for a place, he sought refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by finding a place in the assembly of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, so Allah granted him refuge. Indeed, that is a great encouragement for a person to sit in the assembly of knowledge. Yani, this is, yani, the Prophet ﷺ informed us of how Allah treated this man because of the effort that he made to sit in the assembly of knowledge. So there's an encouragement for us to attend the assemblies of knowledge and to stick to them and be regular and consistent in attending them. Not as some people do. They attend for a few weeks or a few months and then they drop out and you don't see them again for years. Or some people, they come once in a while, once a month or twice a month, or now and then they go to some place, a masjid, wherever it may be, and they sit in a class, or they sit in a lecture, or whatever may be taking place, once in a while, on occasions, in seasons. And it's Labor Day, or it's the Christmas, New Year's weekend or something, and the Muslims are having a what do you call those things? Not a picnic, a conference or something. Huh? Yeah, and they gather a lot of people, and they bring some speakers from here and there, and people go to that. And that's the extent of their seeking knowledge. And wallahi, a person has to examine themselves. And they have to ask themselves, am I going there because this is a place where people want to be seen? I was there, I attended. I was there at that conference in Detroit. I was at the one in so-and-so. I was here and there. Or are they really going there to learn? Because if a person is going to learn, you don't have to go to Detroit to learn. You have to go wherever the people of Sunnah are teaching. And you should benefit from them. So a person has to be careful of why they are going there. Some people are going, it's a fashion show. It's a place to be seen, to show up. We have to be careful from this. Because our intention, since seeking knowledge is worship, then we have to make sure our intention is purely for the sake of Allah alone. So this is an encouragement for us. And a person should be warned. Likewise, from this hadith, we understand that a person should be careful, should be cautioned from abandoning the assemblies of knowledge, from abandoning them and distancing themselves from them. Also in this hadith is the mention of haya, yani of person being shy or modesty. And this matter of modesty is something that is a topic in and of itself. But yani, from amongst the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that show the importance of modesty, of a person being shy. Yani, this man, he didn't find a place, but he was too shy to turn away and go like the other guy. The other guy, he didn't care. He had no shyness at all. He just walked away from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sitting teaching the people, he didn't have any haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need to just walk away like that. He didn't have any haya. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, al-haya'u khayrun kulluhu. That al-haya, modesty or shyness, it is khayr, it is goodness, all of it, completely. And in a similar hadith, he said, al-haya'u la ya'ti illa bi khayr. Reported by Bukhari and Muslim, and the first one is in Sahih Muslim. Al-haya'u la ya'ti illa bi khayr. That haya, the person who has haya, it doesn't bring anything except good. Being shy brings good to you. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith is reported by Tirmidhi in Sahih, Shaykh al-Albani said in Sahih, the Sahih, he said, Al-haya'u min al-iman, wal-iman min al-jannah. And in another narration, he just said, Al-haya' min al-iman. But in this hadith, he said, what? Al-haya'u min al-iman. That modesty or shyness is a part of iman. And iman is from Jannah. Yani it leads to Jannah. And there are a lot of hadith like this. And in one narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-haya'u wal-iman qurina jami'an. That haya', yani modesty and iman are brought together, accompanying one another. They come together. فَإِذَا رُفِيَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِيَ الْآخَرُ. So if one of them is raised up, yani is removed, then the other one also is removed. Yani if haya is removed, the person doesn't have a haya, iman also is removed. So this shows you the importance of haya. A person should be yani shy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is watching you, Allah is hearing you. Allah knows what you are doing and what you are thinking. You don't have any shyness in front of Allah? You just say whatever you want to say. You do whatever you want to do. A person comes to the masjid, he has a dispute with somebody, and he starts threatening him in the masjid. Honey, where's the haya? You're in the masjid. Where's the haya? Subhanallah. What kind of people are we? Allahu musta'an. Okay, anyway, so yani, the time is getting close, so I'll just try to quickly read off some of the benefits from this hadith that Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah mentions in Fath al-Bari, explanation Sahih al-Bukhari. He said in this hadith, there's the indication of istihbab al-tahliq fi majalis al-dhikr wal-ilm. Yani that it is mustahab, that it is praiseworthy and commendable, that the people gather together in the halqa, in the assemblies of dhikr and ilm. It is mustahab that the people gather together, that they form a group and they sit amongst one another. This is mustahab. And sometimes we find the people come to the masjid and nobody sits with anybody. And if there was some way for the people to sit together and benefit from each other, then it is good to do so. And also in this hadith is an indication that the one who comes first to a place in the assembly, he has most right to it. The one who gets there first has most right to it. So no one should get to a place and sit and somebody try to remove them. If they got there first, nobody can come and say, get up, I want that place. Rather, the one who gets there first has most right to it. And he says that the meaning of the one who sought refuge in Allah, or he sought refuge by joining the majlis of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Allah granted him refuge, it means that Allah rewarded him with the likeness of his action. That is, Allah yani included him in his rahmah, in his mercy, and his ridwan, his pleasure. Because the person sought refuge, then Allah responded in like and granted him refuge, that is, by granting him his mercy, and he earned the pleasure of Allah. Also in this hadith is the indication that it is mustahab to observe proper manners and etiquette in the sittings of, in the assemblies of knowledge. To observe al-adab. Al-adab. And that means that a person shouldn't be sitting in the assembly of knowledge and arguing with somebody and cursing at somebody and threatening somebody. What kind of manners is this? What kind of adab is this? Or a person talking in the assembly of knowledge, in the sitting, and a person is just holding a conversation with somebody else. Go out then, go away. If you're not there to listen, don't disturb the other people. And a lot of times the complaint is against the women who come to the masjids and they're talking. And inshallah, not in this masjid, but there are some masjids that you hear them complaining all the time that women are talking, women are making noise, and they can't hear the class or the lecture or whatever is taking place. This shows that people don't have adab. Be careful of your behavior when you come to the assembly of knowledge. Be careful of your behavior. A person should not be in the assembly of knowledge laying down sleeping. Rather, if you need some sleep, go in the back somewhere and lay down and go to sleep. Also in this hadith is the excellence of filling in the spaces in the assembly. In the same way that we encourage to fill in the spaces in the lines, yani in the salat, in the sufuf of the salat, we fill in the spaces. Likewise, in the assembly of knowledge, we should fill in the spaces. And in this hadith is an indication of the permissibility of stepping over people in order to fill in the spaces. As we found the first man, he saw a space and he made his way to it and he sat in it. The permissibility of stepping over people to fill in the space, as long as you don't harm anyone in doing so. If a person fears that they will harm someone, then yani, it is better for him to sit on the outskirt of the assembly, as did the second man. And in this hadith also is an indication that the one who makes a great effort even to squeeze himself in to the assembly for the purpose of seeking knowledge, he tries to find a place, that this one should be praised and commended for making the extra effort to be in the assembly. And from the final points that Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions is the permissibility of informing about the sinful people and their conditions or their characteristics in order to warn people from them, from that behavior. Yani the Prophet ﷺ spoke about the man who went away. He informed the people about him and the condition of that person. For what purpose? To warn people against that. To warn people from turning away from the assembly of knowledge. So it's permissible to inform the people about the sinners, the people who are engaged in disobedience to Allah, to warn people against that behavior. And this is not considered as ghiba. This is not considered as ghiba. This is what Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said. Just so there's no confusion that this is not my comment, rather, this is what he said. The permissibility of informing about, yani, jawaz al-ikhbar an ahl al-ma'asi wa ahwalihim lizzajri anha wa anna dhalika la yu'addu min al-ghiba. This is not considered ghiba. Rather, this is to warn people against such behavior. And in this hadith also is the excellence of sticking to the circles of knowledge and dhikr, yani attending them and being regular and consistent in attending them, and also yani the excellence of the scholar or the person of knowledge and those who are remembering Allah sitting in the masjids. And also it contains praise of the one who is shy, who has shyness or modesty, and also the permissibility of sitting at the edge of the assembly, yani for one who doesn't find a space. And this is the end of what I wanted to read from the comments on this hadith. And actually, there's another point that I wanted to make, but the time is really kind of tight right now. Perhaps quickly. And is there any question about this hadith first? Is there any question about what we read concerning this hadith? Tayyib. I'd just like to read briefly, yani summarize from Fiqh al-Ad'iyya wal-Adhkar, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Musin al-Abbad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. In a chapter in this book, he mentions the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah by mentioning his names and his sifat. That's the title of the chapter. And he says, yani I'm summarizing this because it's pages, okay? I'm summarizing it because I want to get to a point that inshallah is related to what we're talking about this morning. That from the most noble of type of dhikr and the best of the dhikr is to mention Ar-Rabb, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to mention him by mentioning his names, his beautiful names and his magnificent characteristics. Yani from the best of dhikr is to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his names and his sifat, his beautiful names and his yani magnificent characteristics, and to praise him yani with words of praise that he is deserving of, yani with that which he has praised himself with, yani what we found in the Quran, or that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised him with from what we found in the Sunnah. Yani mentioning Allah's asma and his sifat, and praising him with that which he has praised himself with that which he has said about himself, and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said about him. Then the Shaykh says that indeed a dhikr, it is of two types. And each of those two types he mentioned are also two divisions. So the first type is the mention of dhikru asma al-rabb al-husna wa sifatihi al-azima wa thana alayhi biha wa tanzihuhu subhanahu wa taqdeesuhu amma la yaliku bihi tabaraka wa ta'ala wa hadha aydan naw'ain. Yani the first type, and we're not going to go into the details of it, but the first type is mentioning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his beautiful names, his magnificent characteristics, and praising him by them, and declaring him to be free from whatever yani is not befitting to be ascribed to him, whatever is not suitable that the people have falsely ascribed to him. And he says this is also of two types. And one of those types yani is just yani some what came in some of the hadith saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar, like this. And the other one, he said, is that a person this talks about that which is understood from the names of his of Allah and his sifat. Yani saying, for example, that Allah hears the speech of his servants, or Allah sees their movement, or their actions are not hidden from Allah. Yani this is what is understood from the names of Allah and his sifat. This is the second type of mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and sifat, yani praising him by them. And what I want to get to is the second yani type. He said the second type is ذِكْرُ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَنَهْيِهِ وَأَحْكَامِهِ, yani the mention of the commands of Allah and his prohibitions and his rulings, his laws. And this is also of two types, and I'll mention them just briefly, also summarize. And this is really the point that I want to make. This type of dhikr, it is the mention of what? Of Allah's commands and the mention of Allah's prohibitions and the mention of Allah's laws. This is dhikr. And if a person is talking about the commands of Allah, mentioning ayahs from the Quran where Allah has commanded us with something or prohibited us from something, or a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where Allah has commanded or prohibited us from something, or legal rulings that Allah has legislated, this is dhikr. It's not just sitting in the masjid saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah. Naam, that's dhikr, and this is also dhikr. So he said this one is of two types. The first of them is ذِكْرُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ بِذَلِكَ إِخْبَارًا أَنْهُ بِأَنَّهُ أَمْرَ بِكَذَا وَنَهَا عَنْ كَذَا وَحَبُّ كَذَا وَسَخَطَ كَذَا وَرَضِيَ كَذَا and so on. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani mentioning, yani informing about the fact that Allah has commanded with such and such, or he has prohibited such and such, or Allah loves such and such, or he hates such and such, or he's pleased with such and such. Yani the mention of these things is one type of dhikr, and the other type is remembering Allah at the time of being commanded with one of Allah's commands, or being prohibited with one of Allah's prohibitions, and then acting upon it. The second type is what? Yani when you hear about a command of Allah, you act upon it. When you hear about a prohibition of Allah, you yani abstain from it. So as far as the first of these types, and that's what I wanted to mention here, yani it is the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and his prohibitions, that Allah has commanded such, and he has prohibited such, and he loves such, and he hates such, and he's pleased with this, that, and the other. This is dhikrullah. And for this reason, the majalis al-ilm, the assemblies of knowledge, in which clarification is made of that which is halal and haram, and where the legal rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are clarified, these are majalis al-dhikr. Yani these assemblies of knowledge are assemblies of remembrance of Allah, because this is a type of dhikr. Yani mentioning what is halal and what is haram and clarifying the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is dhikrullah. And then the Shaykh mentions here that Atta al-Khursani rahimahullah, he said, majalis al-dhikr, majalis al-halal wal-haram, wa kayfa tashtari wa tabi' wa tusalli wa tasum wa tanke wa tutallik wa tahujju wa ashbahu hadha. That the sittings of remembrance of dhikr, they are the sittings in which the halal and haram is mentioned, and how to buy and how to sell and how to pray and how to fast and how to marry and divorce and make hajj and what is similar to this. And then he mentions an incident, yani that one of the salaf, and he mentions specifically that he was Abu As-Suwar Al-Adawi. He was sitting in an assembly, and they were studying, yani reviewing some knowledge, and with them was a young man. And he said to them, while they were studying, yani teaching something, he said to them, say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. Yani in other words, let's do some dhikr. Let's do some dhikr. So Abu As-Suwar, he became angry, and he said, wayhak. فِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ كُنَّا إِذَنْ يعني woe to you, what do you think we were doing? يعني this is not remembrance of Allah? And he's saying the young man, he didn't have a clue that he thinks remembrance of Allah is only sitting in the masjid saying Subhanallah. But as far as learning the deen of Allah, this is not remembrance of Allah. So the Shaykh is saying, so it is not, the majalis of dhikr are not exclusive, يعني to just mentioning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying tasbih and tahmid and takbir, yani saying subhanallah and alhamdulillah and Allahu Akbar and what is similar to that. But rather, the majalis of dhikr also includes the assemblies where there's the mention of the commands of Allah and the prohibitions of Allah and things that Allah has made lawful and haram and what Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with and what Allah hates and what Allah rejects. بَلْ رُبَّمَا كَانَ هَذَا ذِكْرَ أَنْفَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ Perhaps, this type of dhikr, with the halal and the haram, and what Allah loves and hates and is pleased with, perhaps this type of dhikr is better than the other type. And finally, I'll close with this. And in the second type of dhikr, this type with the what Allah has commanded and prohibited to mention, he said the second type of it, yani the first type of it is mentioning what Allah has commanded and prohibited, and the second type is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time when his command comes and you hasten to fulfill it. And at the time when his prohibition comes to you and you run from it. So complying, yani the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, complying with his commands, with the commands of Allah, and submitting to what he has legislated, and humbly accepting his rulings, and avoiding what he has prohibited, all of this is part of the establishment of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remembering, yani remembering, mentioning the command of Allah and his prohibition, mentioning Allah's commands and prohibition, that's one thing. and remembering Allah at the time when His command comes to you and His prohibition comes to you by complying with it, that is another matter altogether. And this is what we'll stop with. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. So, yani in closing, I just want to remind us that yani whenever we are studying the laws of Allah and the Sunnah, and we are reciting some ayahs from the Quran or hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or we're reviewing the laws of Allah, the Sharia, then this is remembrance of Allah. And remembrance of Allah, and of the greatest of the remembrance of Allah, is that when a command of Allah comes to you, you comply with it. And when a prohibition of Allah comes to you, you comply with it. This is very important. It's not just saying Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, but it's learning the deen of Allah and then acting upon it. This is all dhikrullah. So these are the majalis of ilm, and they're also the majalis of dhikrullah. May Allah accept from us yani the good, and allow our intentions, yani allow us to be successful in making our intentions purely for His sake alone, and that we act upon that which we learn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us from our knowledge, and may He grant us yani knowledge that will benefit us, and may He increase us in this knowledge. Naam. Taib, so, naam. I'll give the senior first, inshallah. Now,
then the whole group set it together, and they said like there was the temptations or something like that.
Now,
I didn't say anything because I didn't, you know, I tried to stay away from that.
No.
But they said it like maybe 5 minutes, right?
Taib.
They said it was tight.
Yeah, and if you see anything, any of munkar, then you should stop it if you have the ability and the authority to do so. Otherwise, you should speak against it if you have the ability to do so. And if you don't, you hate it in your heart. Yani, sometimes it may be bring about a greater harm inserting sitting or situation to, you know, to stand up and confront those people about that. Okay? But if you're able to, then certainly. Yani, if a person is in a position to remind them or advise them or to, you know, inform them about something, then we should do it. Now, we should do it. In any case, we know that dhikr, there's no such thing as group dhikr. That everybody should make the dhikr individually by themselves. Now, Ibrahim. Wa alaykum salam. Yani al-haya wal-iman have been brought together. Yani they have been brought together, meaning that they became a part of one another, such that if one of them is removed, then the other is also removed. Yani they go together. Person who doesn't have haya, he doesn't have iman. And the person who doesn't have iman, he will not have haya. He will be like an animal. Shameless. Taib. Naam.
What was so stated about it's related to this topic, but going to seek knowledge, if you go to any masjid, seek knowledge of siege. Is there a reward of hajj? Is that
That if you go to any masjid to seek knowledge or to teach, the reward of hajj?
I
don't know. Huh? طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.